The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Hornet's Nest. Good morning. I'm Nick Gardner.
I'm Doug Janke. Good morning.
And we've got Chris Kellstrom in the house. We've got stuff going on. We're going to learn about what's going on in the watershed up at McLeod up in Shingletown.
McCumber, not McLeod.
Lake McCumber.
Yeah, they both start with an N, and I capitalized them, so okay?
Folks, Joe Biden's in the house, folks.
There's nothing funny about that. You guys like laughing at your own jokes?
I do.
Oh, we like laughing at you. Listen, I've got a clip coming up, and it's about one of our new supervisors, and I just found it so interesting, but I've got to prep it. At the start of each supervisor's meeting, they have what they call the supervisor's reports for the last week. And they start off with CEO Dave Rickard. He tells us what he's been working on and what's going on. And then each supervisor tells us about what their project they've worked on during the week. So are we ready with that clip?
Oh, boy. What did I get myself into here?
Legal action was important. It says here certain items.
That's not the clip.
That need.
So, look for that. It's the supervisor's meeting, I think, on either the 12th or the 14th. And maybe I gave her the wrong clip. That's never happened before.
I guess it's the 14th.
Nope. That's Crazy D right there.
Well, it's live radio.
You'd think she's a supervisor. So let's go ahead and talk about McLeod. You want to tell everybody where
McCumber. See, there it is.
I'm just checking these guys.
I'm just checking. Hey, so good morning, everybody. First off, Dad tells us we have to do this. So you're on KCNR 1460 AM, 96.5 FM, and KCNR 1460.com. So there, we've done our part. So I had a lunch with Mr. Kellstrom here recently on something that's really cool. If it all comes together, it's going to be big news someday. And Chris and I got talking about, did I know what was going on up in the Lake McCumber watershed?
Nowhere near McLeod.
Nowhere near McLeod, except for Joe Biden, who sits across from us here. So Chris, please, for folks who've been here and you fish, you take your kids, your grandkids, you've gone up there, you've hiked, you've climbed, what's going on there, my friend?
Yeah, so PG&E did not renew their FERC license for the power generation along the Battle Creek Canyon project. So it goes clear down to Hama County, up through Manton. There's several little powerhouses in there. And then basically the water starts at North Battle Creek Reservoir. It flows into Lake McCumber, and then there's two ditches that take it into Grayson Nora Lake.
Which are both empty.
They did refill one of them a few weeks ago, I think, just to see how much water is leaking out of it. But, yeah, they will probably be gone. They probably will not be maintained. And then the powerhouses and everything all the way down the Battle Creek Canyon have been decommissioned, taken out, passed through. So those are gone, which is fine. I mean, I don't like seeing it happen, but the environmental groups are happy, and PG&E, it wasn't, apparently wasn't cost prohibitive to keep them going. Nobody else wanted to renew the FERC license. So my battle now, though, is I need to keep North Battle Creek Reservoir full because that feeds into McCumber, and there's hundreds of people that live around Lake McCumber. So and not to mention that I absolutely love North Battle Creek Reservoir. I've been going there off and on for the last 50-plus years. So,
well, I'm going to interrupt you real quick because I have not been up there, but you even specifically mentioned to the gentleman we had lunch with something about Killark. How bad is that now looking?
Well, Killark is a big dry hole in the ground now.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
That's
what I wanted to ask. My kids grew up fishing on Killark, and the same similar situation happened there. PG&E did not renew their FERC license. So they were going to decommission the powerhouse, which is decommissioned now. Killark Reservoir fed that powerhouse. Now, there was a rock slide or a landslide that wiped out part of the flume that fed Killark. So there was a flume that was actually, it's a feat of engineering, in my opinion, an engineering marvel. It goes miles and miles and miles and takes water from, I believe, Cow Creek all the way around the face of this mountain into Killark. Well, there was a landslide that wiped out part of that, but it was during the time when they did not renew their FERC license, so there was no reason to fix it.
Gotcha.
So they never did. They drained the lake, you know, and the frustrating thing is this is all for the betterment of the environment. Well, Killark Reservoir now is a big dry hole in the ground. You know, all the salamanders that were in there, there was, you know, some very cool salamanders. They're all dead. The water snakes are dead. The fish are dead. The ospreys that fed off the fish, you know, they're gone. You know, all the wildlife that use that, the raccoons, the deer, the bear, you know, they no longer have a water source there. I mean, it blows my mind that this is better for the environment when it devastates the environment, you know, when every time they drain one of these things. So I don't want to see that happen with North Battle Creek Reservoir. The problem with North Battle Creek Reservoir is the dam is like 80 or 100 years old. It needs to be maintained, possibly rebuilt. Definitely at least needs to be, you know, have some work done to it. Fish and Wildlife, U.S. Forest Service, Army Corps of Engineers, they don't like to fix dams because they impede the fish. Fortunately for me or for us, this dam is not impeding fish progress. They don't go that far up the canyon. So to maintain this reservoir is not going to impede any fish migration or fish spawning. But it's going to take a federal agency to step in and fix this thing because, you know, the county's pockets aren't that deep. Private enterprise is not going to be able to do it. So we're going to need the federal government's help, hopefully the Park Service. Now, the National Forest Service, the land was deeded to them by PG&E.
Oh, yeah. That's something that you had mentioned that I had not been aware of, that they actually, PG&E, now backing themselves out of this whole thing, just started deeding properties to different entities.
Correct. So the National Forest Service owns or now is in charge of the land around Killark Reservoir. So, or excuse me, North Battle Creek Reservoir. So hopefully I can get somebody there to step forward and say that they will maintain that lake. You know, I mean, I need to involve everybody. I need to involve, you know, Cal Fire because that's the only lake to dip in. If there's a forest fire up there, you're not going to be able to dip anywhere else for miles and miles and miles around. Latour State Forest is very close to that. It's only a couple miles away. You know, I may have to get the state involved, but I think it's going to probably take the federal government to save North Battle Creek Reservoir and then in return save Lake Macomber.
Well, and folks, I realize it's Sunday morning, but, you know, hopefully you heard something in it that I think rings deep, not hollow, in our local environment, is when there is a fire, and, oh, gosh, we have those. Unlike Southern California, once every a century, we have them every year. They need to dip the helicopter buckets into water to go and try to put the fire out as quickly as possible. And if we empty Lake Macomber and Battle Creek, you folks out that direction, you're now going to be even more exposed to extreme fire situation because they won't actually have any tools in the toolbox to bring water. So I wanted to point that out because that was something you said to me that you really wanted to do, Chris, is point out to the powers that be that this really is not per se just a recreational issue. It's a fire prevention, fire safety issue.
Yeah, absolutely. Right in that general vicinity, you have Thousand Lakes Wilderness Area, which is federally, you know, governed. And then you have Latour State Forest, which, you know, is a state funded. That's where we get our Christmas tree every year for Sacramento. So, you know, Sacramento, if you're listening, please help me out because we need to save that. If you want your Christmas tree every year, then we're going to have to, you know, save Latour or at least protect Latour. But then it's surrounded by national forest land. Lassen National Forest surrounds the whole lake. So there is a lot of country. There's a lot of forest. There's a lot of trees. There's a lot of, you know, potential forest fire in that area. And, you know, North Battle Creek Reservoir, as well as Macomber, you know, will help in fire prevention.
So where are you at now? Is this all kind of beginning phase stuff? Is there actual some, you know, the old poo hitting the fan already? What where are we at in this whole process?
So we're pretty fair, new to this whole thing. So I've been going to meetings with the Battle Creek Conservation Group for over a year and a half now. And normally we go there and their stakeholders are at the table and really no one else is there. No members of the public are there. The last one I went to was down in Manton and there was about 100 people there and probably 50 of them were from the Lake Macomber area. So, the people in the Lake Macomber area have gotten the word that it's a possibility that their lake will be drained. So they have gotten involved now, but this is very, very first stages. But what happened with Killark, and it was, you know, gosh, I don't know, 15, 20 years ago, they didn't renew their FERC license there. You know, nobody made a big deal about it. It was just like, oh, well, whatever. It's a PG&E project, you know, no big deal until it came time to where, well, Killark might be drained. Well, then all of a sudden everybody's like, well, wait a minute, we got to do something. Well, by that time it was almost too late. There was some private groups that got involved, but they didn't renew the FERC license. So, by the time they ended up draining the lake, it was too late. Now they did drain the lake because the slide happened on the flume. But they probably would have drained the lake anyways if that slide didn't happen. So at that point, it was too late. It was too late for anybody to do anything. It was too late for anybody to fix anything. It was too late for anybody to get involved. So I want to make sure that we're not sitting 3 or 4 years from now going, well, wait a minute, why didn't somebody do something? So I am attempting to do something now.
Well, feel free on Sunday, our shows, to always call in or something and let us know what if there's something we can do or put out there for you. And obviously you and I are working on something else, so you can always let me know. Hey, bring it up this Sunday. There's a meeting or whatever, and we'd love to help you. But, Nick, now that Joe Biden's back in the house,
What's the water supply for McLeod? Where's the water?
McComber.
Would you quit saying McLeod?
I just said Joe Biden's, and he makes it true.
You got a piece of paper in front of you. Write down McComber, would you please?
How do you spell it? So tell me, what's the water supply for McComber?
Battle Creek.
That comes out of...
There's a North Fork and a South Fork. So the North Fork of Battle Creek feeds into North Battle Creek Reservoir. And then it goes down to McLeod. Oh,
I got two Joes in here. What the heck?
And it goes down to McComber. And there's two ditches that take the water from McComber over to Grace and Nora Lake, which are probably gone now.
Okay, so what kind of shape is the powerhouse and the dam on North Battle Creek Reservoir? Are they threatening to shut it down?
Well, there's no reason for them to maintain it because they no longer need the water to supply their power houses. So that's the threat right now. So they've already turned the property over to Lassen National Forest. So that's who I need to get involved, is Lassen National Forest or the Parks Department to maintain the dam and keep that lake full.
So they're shutting it down because their powerhouse, it's at the end of its 50-year lease, and it's not going to be cost-efficient for them to rebuild it and put it back in shape it's going to go in.
Well, not really. They did not renew their FERC license, which is like the federal electrical whatever.
Well, I understand that, but there's requirements. Like you take the Killark Reservoir, the powerhouse down there, it was falling down. You go look at it, and it's falling apart, and that's why they didn't renew it.
I'm going to disagree with you there, Nick. It's not falling apart. The thing's been there 100 years, and it was still fully functional.
When's the last time you walked around it?
About a month ago.
Well, I've walked around it each year for about the last 10 years, and I see concrete falling out. I see a lot of patching and that kind of stuff. Maybe the turbine and everything is out of date. They need to replace that. It was my impression that it wasn't cost effective for them to rebuild that turbine and put it in the shape that it needs to be in.
Let's not put any more fake news out there. So the crux of the matter is California does not recognize hydroelectric as clean energy. That is the problem. It has nothing to do with crumbling
hence the Klamath River.
Yes. So California does not see hydroelectric as clean energy. Hydroelectric, you have clean water going and spinning the turbine and clean water coming out. That is not clean energy to state of California.
I didn't claim it wasn't.
No.
No, I know, but you're saying that they shut these things down because they're crumbling infrastructure. That is not true. They are shutting them down because California does not think that that is clean energy. So they want PG&E to get out of the hydroelectric business.
Because we got all that great solar.
Yeah, solar panels and windmills are clean energy, Nick, not hydroelectric. So it behooves PG&E to decommission some of these older projects and get out of them because it's not going to go to California's goals of 2030, 2035, whatever it is, to be, you know, clean energy reliant across California.
Now has,
I would expect those goals to change here in the future.
I think they might, but has old Dougie Boy and his group offered any assistance?
Well, I mean, we are in the very early stages, so I have talked to Brenda Haynes a couple different times. I told her I'm going to need Doug's help on this, but, you know, right now Doug has enough things to do. he's a pretty busy guy at this point, so we are in the very infancy of this entire project, so I'm sure Doug will help me out here in the future, but we're still, right now, I'm just trying to get the word out that, hey, we have a project on the horizon. We need to make everybody aware, and we need to get everybody's help that we can.
And I want to shift gears real quick, because about Doug LaMalfa. When we were at that meeting the other day, I think it was you that brought it up, that Doug had pushed through something about opening up our forest or a bill or something. What, do you know anything more about that at all, or no?
I don't really know a whole lot about it, but he did introduce a bill to start cleaning our forest floors, because our forest floors are a mess. And as you know, we've discussed in the past, there is some federal rule out there that after the 92 spotted owl decision, that companies that are trying to make clean burning fuel cannot use federally sourced material.
Okay. So, Nick, did you get your clip ready, sir, about the supervisor? Since we've got Mr. Colson here, I'm sure we'd love to hear this one. What's up, bud?
Can't find it.
Oh. Well, that's not good.
But I did find dirty laundry.
We'll be talking about that
anyway,
in a minute.
But anyway, you know, how come they couldn't open back up Killark and or Grace and Nora and just not use the power plant?
So Grace and Nora are full of muskrat holes. They have a ton of muskrat holes in them. So they both of them leak like a sieve, horribly. And again, that's a lot of maintenance. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of expenditure when there's no other use for them other than recreation for the people. So Grace and Nora have been turned over to Cal Fire. So California Department of Forestry, Cal Fire, now are in possession of that land around Grace and Nora. So if anybody were to refurbish them and fix them up, it would be Cal Fire's jurisdiction that would have to do it.
I would think that would actually make some fire sense to get those two lakes filled back up. I mean, they're not huge, but that would be dipping areas for helicopters.
And I agree with that. But again, that's a state, you know, issue where Cal Fire, I mean, they may determine that one or the other or both would be fire prevention measures, and they may decide to, you know, refurbish them. But there is a ton of damage to both of those lakes through muskrats.
Wow.
Yeah.
What do you got for them, Nick?
A shame they got to get shut down.
Well, yeah.
I was going up there since I was about 10 years old.
Well,
yeah, that's 150 years ago.
I was going to say, were they there?
What's so funny about that?
Were dinosaurs drinking out of them?
Yeah. He rode his Triceratops Rex out there.
Well, we're losing our recreational.
Slowly, one piece at a time, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, for all you old-timers who've been up there, and I hear the stories from folks who've lived here for many years, and they used to go up there and hunt and fish and just do wrong things. And now it's all being taken away.
But we can all go fish around the 400 new windmills they want to put in up on Hatcher Ridge. I mean, you know, there's that.
Of course, yeah.
There's no water or fish there, but I mean.
And then the birds keep getting hit, so.
Well, how about that dumb rule you can't use chips off of the National Forest? I mean, how stupid is that?
Exactly.
You know, the poorest managed forest in our area is Forest Service, Bureau of Land Management, anything like that.
So the powers that be back in 92 thought that, you know, they hated clear cuts, they hated thinning, they hated cutting down trees, and they were afraid that in the future, green energy groups would be taking the stuff off the forest floor, and then, of course, in their minds, there was going to be clear-cut everything. So they made the rule that, yeah, you cannot use federally sourced fuels to create ethanol, basically.
Well, one of the very first shows I got to do with Nick way back when we were both young, we had three battalion chiefs or whatever from U.S. Forest Service and Cal Fire. And the one guy had been with the federal group for 35-something years and did not know this, but there was one profit-making department in the United States government through all the way up to the 80s. I did not know this until he talked
prior
about
to 92.
It. Yep. He said that basically every year the federal government had a profit-making agency in the U.S. Forest Service because they were able to do harvest, and that money went into the general fund and covered the entire budget of the Forest Service and put money into it, and then they stopped all that.
Yeah, so the stump fees actually paid for all the schools up in Siskiyou County, just the stump fees alone. So they would come in and do a timber harvest. They would, you know, mark however many, you know, millions of boards, square feet. And then they would put that back into the county's coffers as well as the federal government coffers. So it was the only agency that ran in the black. It was the only one that made a profit. The only one. And then in 92, they came up with a spotted owl decision that said we can't cut down any more trees because we have this endangered spotted owl.
Which turned out to be a complete bogus thing.
So yes, I was in a water meeting down in Chico 2 years ago, and the individual that wrote that decision was the guest speaker at this water conference that I was at. He now teaches in some college down in the south.
Of course he does.
Yeah. And he apologized. He says, I'm sorry, that was the wrong decision, I apologize. And I'm thinking, you shut down the entire West Coast. You destroyed how many thousands and thousands of jobs and industry and on the West Coast, but you're sorry now. So, okay, well, that's great.
Yeah, I'm glad you can see
that. And now our forests burn to, you know, turns the dirt into glass at this point because there's nothing left because we have so much fuels on the forest floor.
Oh, it's crazy. It's absolutely nuts. So, yeah, Nick, it was a money-making entity, and then we killed it. And I think Mr. Elon Musk,
if you're surprising, it was a money-making entity because I worked in logging all my life, and I saw how they threw money away.
Then they still made money.
Yes, that's the point I was trying to make. Yep.
Mr. Musk, if you're listening, maybe you want to go back to the U.S. Forest Service and say, hey, start doing those timber harvests and start making money. That'll take that off your list of things to do. So, yeah. Now, Chris, we've got about, it looks like 3 minutes before we go to break and have you get back. What else is going on that our folks maybe want to hear about?
So you want me to tell you what's going on in 3 minutes?
Well, no. I mean, just open it up, and then we'll come back with some dirty laundry.
Well, we can always go to break early. I would like to say be here right at the end of break. I've got a really good clip from President Trump, and then I've got an announcement to make.
Oh,
can
boy.
We go to break now there, Christina?
She's giving us a thumb up.
Okay.
Right. See you on the other side.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Reading.
Hi, it's Mark from Haven Humane Society. Are you looking to add to your family? We have puppies, kittens, small critters, and farm animals. Each year, we have thousands of amazing animals looking for homes come into our lives, and we hope to have them join yours. Follow us on social media and find our links on our website at havenhumane.org. Watch our weekly content on YouTube, like our Mark's Monday mashup, when we talk about what's going on and introduce you to our team and adoptable animals. Get involved. Volunteer. Thank you for all your continued support. Together, we are moving closer to our ultimate goal of a North State with no more homeless pets.
Now is a great time to prepare for the upcoming wildfire season. REU and city staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our power lines, facilities, and the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home. Clear debris from your roof and gutter and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity to power lines, call 530-224-4356. Please remember, we all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
Goldleaf Nursery is celebrating 50 years in business. Yep, 50 years. Seems like yesterday our nursery and landscape business was just a little seedling itself, but the truth is, we've been serving Shasta County for 50 years, growing shrubs, trees, and veggie plants since 1975. Also, as a licensed contractor, we've landscaped shopping centers, city parks, and custom residential homes. The sale will start now and continue through springtime. All 1 gallon and larger shrubs and trees are on sale. With spring right around the corner, we have a good selection of spring shade bloomers, such as azaleas and camellias, and many other blooming plants to enhance your landscape in those sunny locations in the yard. This is the perfect time of the year to start preparing your vegetable garden. We have organic soils and fertilizers, including a full line of John and Bob's Organics, and we carry non-GMO seeds. So rest assured, you can have a healthy planting crop in your vegetable garden. If you have not been to Goldleaf Nursery, we invite you to check us out and see for yourself why we have so many customers tell us what a unique nursery we have. Goldleaf Nursery, 6186 Churn Creek Road, across from Tucker Oaks Golf Course, and 1/4 mile from Airport Road.
I said, what's your name? Sir, my name is Raisin. What the hell kind of a name? I said, Raisin, like the fruit? He goes, yes, sir, Raisin. What's your last name? Cane. Raisin Cane. I said, you got to be kidding. Sir, I want to know, why is it going to take 2 years to knock off 2 or 3 or 4%, which is what we had left? It won't, sir. I said, tell me why it won't. It won't, sir. I said, what's your name?
If we attack them in a different manner, we can do it much faster.
Okay, General Raisin Kane, how fast can...
Sir, we can have it totally finished in 1 week.
I said, 1 week? I was told 2 years. 1 week.
That's right, sir. We're only hitting them from a temporary base in Syria. But if you gave us permission, we could hit them from the back, from the side, from all over, from the base that you're right on right now, sir. They won't know what the hell hit them. They won't know what the hell hit them, sir. And I said, why didn't my other generals tell me that? Why didn't they tell me that? I said, did you tell them that? Not our place to say it, sir. They come in from Washington, sir. We have to take orders. You're the first one to ask us our opinion. So,
And that's what's happened to our force. We got these little geeks in Sacramento and in Washington, D.C., telling us how to run our force out here in California on the West Coast.
I think bureaucrats is the word.
Yeah, I have
excuse
a worse
me, my
word
vocabulary
for that.
Is limited.
Yeah,
I want to make an word. Announcement first. Today at 2:30 at the library, there's a presentation going on to sign up to teach you how to sign up and gather signatures for an amendment that Laura Hobbs and her group want to put on our charter. And the amendment would be the addition to the charter would be one-day voting, voter ID, clean voter rolls. That's what we all want. This is a citizens-led initiative that they want to get on the ballot, and we need 10,000 signatures to get it done. But your signatures have to be perfect. Oh, the little bit that I know is you have to print out your full name. You've got to put in your address, and that's what this presentation, this seminar today is to teach you how to do that. Also, they want volunteers to come and help gather signatures. If you're happy with our elections, don't show up. But if you're not happy with our elections, I would urge you to be there and get involved, because this is the only way we're going to straighten out our elections. And this would affect local, state, and national.
Oh.
So go there if you're not too busy at 2:30. I don't know what could be more important than having honest elections.
I think that's a fair thing to say. Now, we were going to play a quick clip before Chris went into the media. Do we have the dirty laundry clip? She's got it, so hold on for just a second. Bubble-headed bleach bomb reads the news. Mr. Kelston, would you like to let our folks know what recently personally happened to you in Donald Trump's words, fake news?
Yeah, fake news. We certainly have that here, especially Channel 24. So we are in the middle of the board meeting listening to the Haas case, both sides presenting the case, when Channel 24 comes out with a news story that the supervisors voted 4-1 to move forward with the Haas case.
And that was before you actually voted?
It was an hour before we actually voted.
That's
we were
psychic.
Listening to the case at the time. And
quite
they
psychic.
Put that out there. I mean, what a joke. You know, and the same news agency, I was at a Haas meeting, oh gosh, a year and a half, 2 years ago. You know, Glenn barbecued for everybody. Greg served everybody dinner. All the neighbors that were, you know, in opposition that were worried about different things were there. That, I don't know, there was 50, 60 people there. And, you know, Greg tried to alleviate their fears and talk to the whole crowd. And this little ditz was behind me on a news camera for, I don't know, 3 hours. And she reports the next morning that, you know, she was at the Haas meeting and shows the crowd, and I mean, I'm sitting in front of her, and she says Supervisor Kellstrom was not there. So I walked up to her the next day at the board meeting, and I handed her my business card. You know, at 6'9", I kind of stand out a little bit. Most people recognize me, but I walk up to her and I hand her my business card. I said, I would like to introduce myself to you because you reported that I was not at the Haas meeting, and I sat right in front of you for 3 hours. Oh, I'm sorry. And then they rerun the story the next morning that I wasn't there again. I mean, so what a joke. Our news media, what a joke. I will say KRCR or Channel 7 has been doing a much better job since I was a young man. I mean, they were a joke back in the day. They still catch a lot of flack because of their reputation from back in the past. But I will say Channel 7, you know, Mike Mangus, I mean, they've been doing a much better job. Channel 24, you should be ashamed of yourself.
Well, you know, it's funny is that they were so good, they were able to project what you guys were going
to
vote.
Apparently, and they totally got it wrong. We voted 5-0 to bring it back to the board. And that was actually, you know, while we're talking about it, that was actually great. So the neighbors were, I mean, very, very, very upset. I mean, Greg had thrown everything that he could at the wall to see what would stick. He made it the rezoning so that his kids and grandkids would never have to deal with it again.
Well, let me stop you for 2 seconds. For folks who don't know, this is down at the corner of Dersh and Deschutes. And if you want to just give a quick little overview of what he's asking, because a lot of people maybe don't go out that direction, don't know what you're referring to.
Yeah, so Greg Haas, it's zoned agricultural, obviously. It's been a farm for 160 years in their family, I believe, something crazy like that. And I don't know, a couple decades ago, he started wanting to do an agritourism type of thing. So he started having the haunted houses and the corn mazes during Halloween, and he started having a little Christmas parade and fair.
And the little train that goes around.
And he does, yeah, he's done some concerts, and he's done some, you know, weddings out there. He's done some different events out there. So most of the neighbors are okay with what he's doing now, but in order for him to do anything more, he needs to rezone it. So he got all those carnival rides that are sitting out there. If you drive by there, you'll see the Ferris wheel and you'll see, yep, you know, all sorts of things. Well, those are outside of his special use permit. So that's why they are not running right now. So he needs to rezone it. So he put in a plan. He's been working on it for years. He put in a plan to rezone the thing. Well, he went all the way down to the river, and that was one of the biggest concerns. The neighbors across the river from him were concerned they were going to have a hotel looking into their backyards, which is understandable. They don't want that. And I tried to alleviate their fears. I tried to tell them, listen, that the green belt between the people on the other side of the river and Haas's, it will remain there. It's not going to change. Those trees and everything are going to block their view from anything's going on. Then if you go further to the north, he's got some solar panels and he's got a walnut orchard. The walnut orchard grove is not going to change either because it's in the floodplain, so you're not going to be able to build anything there. But he included that in his rezoning to include that into commercial. And the reason he did that is he does some small things down there. He does the mud run. The mud run, a yearly mud run, it goes down through that orchard. In the one time a year he does that. He's held some weddings down there in the orchard. So he wanted to include that in the rezoning. But, of course, that was one of the main concerns of the neighbors is, you know, they look at that rezoning going, we're going to have a hotel in our backyard. That was never going to happen. So, anyways, we had the meeting. I mean, I've been listening to the neighbors for 2 years now. They're all upset. They're all upset over the same thing, you know, traffic, noise, lighting, you know. And so I've been right in the middle of the thing for 2 years. So the last thing I want to do is postpone it and bring it back again. But it turns out that it was the best thing to happen. So Greg was there. The neighbors were there. Everybody was there. We said, well, will you take that southern part out of the rezoning? He agreed to that. Kevin wanted him to make a sound barrier or a sound, you know, to test the sound on the perimeter of the property. He agreed to that. We agreed to lower the standards of some of the rides to go from, I don't know, 50 feet to 40 feet. He agreed to that. So he agreed to all these concessions. The neighbors were happy. He was happy. Everybody's happy. So, I mean, it was strange to see. These people have been just outright, you know, infuriated for 2 years, and they're all out in the front steps hugging and shaking hands, and it was a great thing to see. So they'll go back to the Planning Commission, I believe, on the 14th of March, and then it'll be brought back to the board shortly thereafter, and hopefully both sides of the whole thing are happy, and it should just pass 5-0 and be done, and Greg will be able to continue to do what he's doing and plus more, and the neighbors will be hopefully satisfied with the results. So.
Well, I'm going to jump in because Nick asked a question, and I think that's worth asking again. It was off air. How do you like being a supervisor? How's that 2-year run been?
Well, if you watch our meetings, it looks like it would be horrific and horrible, and I would be miserable. But quite frankly, we have done so much and gotten so much accomplished that, I mean, I'm actually very happy. So when I go to normal events, you know, I take tickets at the front door of the Cottonwood Rodeo every year, and I will have people come up to me that will never go to a meeting, they will never make a phone call, they will never leave an email, and they'll come up to me and go, hey, man, I really appreciate what you're doing. Keep up the good work. You know, I'm fully behind you. So that makes it all worthwhile. But, you know, some of the things that we've accomplished, I mean, we've got a new CEO who is spectacular. Our county council is top-notch, regardless of what some people think. Our county council is absolutely spectacular. The old county council's office, four of them left. It was, we won't go there. We've got a new head of HR. I mean, we have made some drastic changes. I've got a new resource manager. That's my wheelhouse, is the resource management. You know, the permitting, the inspections, all that was something I campaigned on. We now have the county where if you apply for a permit to, say, maybe rebuild your garage and they find a garden shed that's out of compliance from 40 years ago, they used to not give you your permit to rebuild your garage until you got the garden shed in compliance. Now they've changed it to where if whatever's out of compliance does not directly affect the project you're pulling a permit for, they give you your permit. And it's like, why did it take 40 years for that common sense to come into the thing?
So, and for folks, I'm a real estate agent, as you know, how it used to work is, code enforcement would be on your neighbor's property and they could look across the line or look on your own property and say, hey, this is not permitted. You need to permit that before we'll give you your solar panel or your roof permit or whatever. And now it's solely based on a complaint. Somebody has to complain about something and then they can only go look at that something. So that is huge because I can tell you, I've had clients call me that just end of their wits because they were trying to get a roof permit and they were told that this, you know, 10 by 14, which is 2 feet bigger than the 10 by 12 limit, had to be permitted and engineered and the whole works, and the whole project came to a stop. So that actually, folks, is really big for our local area.
Yeah, a friend of mine, now he was in the Reading City Limits jurisdiction, which they are still broken in my opinion, which I can't fix that, so it is what it is, but He was getting a solar permit this many years ago, and he had a garden shed. He had a prefabricated garden shed that he bought at Lumber 84, which is now the Jump Center. So the city says, well, this structure isn't permitted. And he goes, well, it's my garden shed. And they said, well, you know, it's over 120 square feet. And he says, okay, well, what do I need to do to get a permit on it? They said, well, you need to give your plans to planning and have them plan checked. He says, well, there is no plans. It was prefabricated. I bought it at Lumber 84, hauled it my property. They said, well, then you need to get it reverse engineered and submit those plans. He says, well, that's going to cost me more than the garden shed cost me. And he could take it to an architect and have him reverse engineer it. So his solution was he emptied it out. He took a chainsaw and he cut up one side of the wall across the roof and down the other side of the wall, spread them, the two sheds now apart, and he, you know, tacked plywood on the end of them. Well, he took it back in, and they said, they're not far enough apart. So he literally had to hook it to his pickup and drag it another 5 feet over, and they said, okay, now you can get your solar permit. I mean, this is the ridiculous, and the county used to be just as bad. The county was just as bad as the city of Reading is now. So I am very proud to say that the county, you know, they work with people. They find a path forward. They help them. I mean, it's great. I was in the barbershop one day, and there was a customer in there, you know, down in Cottonwood, and he didn't know who I was, and, you know, not that I am anybody, but, I mean, he didn't know. And he mentioned to Woody, he goes, you know, he says, I had to go to the county and get a permit. He says, I was really, really, you know, dreading it. He says, I've heard how hard they are to work with. He says, but, man, they were really helpful. And I looked at him and I go, you're welcome. You know? And then he goes, yeah, really? There's two young guys in there. And they said, no, our plan is to help you. We try to find you a path forward and we do everything we can to, you know, get your permit and make it smooth. And I looked at him again and I go, like I said, you're welcome. You know, he had no idea, but that was just made my whole day there. So with that in mind, yes, it's all worth it.
Tell me, some of the ideas you guys, some ways you've saved the county money.
Well, I don't know about saving the county money. We've certainly saved the taxpayers some money. So we got rid of the impact fees, which, for those of you that don't know what impact fees is, if you're building a house or building a shop or building anything in this county, I had, a gentleman up in Fall River Mills, and it wasn't even my district, and this guy had bought a piece of property. He had talked to the manager at the time, which I think was, it wasn't Russ Moll, it was after him. Anyways, he had talked to them, he had talked to everybody, and they said they would waive the impact fees. So this guy bought this property. It was dilapidated, junk cars, all sorts of problems. He put $300,000 into the property, redoing the septics, redoing a pond with the Army Corps engineers, this, that, and the other thing. He gets all done. The house didn't have a permit. He knew that, so he rebuilt the house up to code with his permits and everything he was supposed to do. And then at the end of it, the county handed him a bill for $8,500. And he says, well, you said you'd waive the impact fees. And they said, oh, nobody remembers that. And new resource manager and, you know, whatnot and da-da. So we ended up cutting his impact fees down from $8,500 to $185 and let him go. But then we got to take a look at these impact fees, and we're like, you know, I mean, people are buying their grading permits, they're buying their building permits, they're paying all these fees, and at the end of the project, we would hand them another bill saying, oh, by the way, you're impacting fire, you're impacting law enforcement, you're impacting the schools, you're impacting, you know, all these other entities, so we need to charge you another fee. So we took a look at them. We ended up rolling them back and doing away with impact fees, which, you know, there was a small number of people that were screaming and yelling, we're going to break the county, this and that and the other thing. And about 3 days later, it went to the Supreme Court, who said impact fees are an illegal tax. They haven't been passed by the legislature. They've just been imposed on people by bureaucrats. But, of course, nobody remembers that. And we still have people to this day coming up to the board saying, well, maybe you should reinstitute the impact fees. It's like,
they weren't using that money anyway. There was $1.5 million in the bank from those that they hadn't used. And it wasn't an exorbitant amount of money that they collected.
True, but it was to the ratepayers.
I agree with you. Yeah. I agree with you. But it's not like they had to lay off a couple of sheriffs
right. Because
of it. I mean, it didn't affect the county hardly at all.
Yeah, no, we've done some things. We looked at the fees for notaries. You know, somebody had sent Kevin a letter saying, hey, you know, I'm not a big deal, but you know, notary fees in Shasta County are three times what they are anywhere else. Well, Kevin had Nolda Short, who is spectacular, by the way. So Nolda, you know, went and did a study on him, and lo and behold, you know, we were three times higher. And how they got to that point, I don't know. You know, at one point, just before my time, to go into a certified farmer's market, it was $20. You know, so you paid a $20 permit and you went and sold your honey or your candles or whatever, your homemade laundry detergent, whatever it was. Well, they did a fee study and they realized that it would cost $240 from the time, you know, all the people it went to. So they changed the fee from $20 to $240. Now the board, fortunately, at that time rolled it back. But when I won, talking to the resource manager, I said, why do we even need a permit to go to a farmer's market? You know, and he says, well, you don't for a farmer's market, but a certified farmer's market, you have to get a permit because we have to, otherwise you could just go to Costco and buy a jug of honey and pour it in a jar. Well, isn't that buyer beware? I mean, what, you know, who cares?
Is it poison? No. Then right. What does it matter?
Right. So I to this day, I had somebody in Happy Valley. Now I have somebody in Cottonwood that's wanting to do a farmer's market. And I said, I highly suggest you just do a farmer's market. Don't do a certified farmer's market. Now, they try to scare you into doing a certified farmer's market. So we just had a presentation down in Cottonwood where she's like, well, you know, weights and measures will come in and they're much more strict if it's not certified. And it's like, none of that is, but whatever.
It's not going to happen.
No.
You know, I talked to Nolda Short at the last meeting. I caught her outside. And I had heard, I think it was on Kelly Frost's show on Saturdays, somebody called in and said if Matt Pontes hadn't been fired, they would just be finishing up a new jail right now. So I talked to Nolda. I said, Nolda, have we ever had the money to build a new jail? It's an absolute no.
Absolutely.
We're not going to get a new jail without a special tax. So anybody that runs on that is lying to you.
So we had a bond measure, or excuse me, a grant that Leonard Modi turned down before my time. They turned down a grant that probably could have built a jail at that time. Now, when Patrick Jones, the previous board, we have about $35 million that we had set aside to build a jail. Now, Fresno had built a jail that about the same size we want to build for $40 million. So we already had 35 set aside, which we're like well on our way to getting a new jail. Unfortunately, the cost of construction has gone skyrocketed so ridiculously that that same $40 million jail that Fresno built, 4 years ago or 3 years ago would now be approximately $125 million.
Well, I mean, that goes like to residential real estate is we had the car fire. We lost 1,100 homes. And then we had the campfire, which was 13,000. Then we had Santa Rosa, which lost 8,000. Before the fire, you could build a house here, you know, Formica, wood-sided, nothing special for probably about 120, 130 per square foot for the home, not the utilities, but just the home. You can't even get a contractor to pick up the phone now if you're not willing to write a check for $275 to $300 square foot.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, the cost has gone up exponentially since the car fire by far, and that's on Biden's 4 years of amazing leadership, and it's been a double whammo.
So what's happened to that $32 million you had set aside for a jail?
It's the county still has the funds. I mean, everybody and their brother wants to spend them.
You know,
we've every time a project comes up that we're looking to fund, it's like, well, you can use that money you set aside for the jail. You use that money, you know. So it's still there. Now the sheriff wants to do an expansion on the alternative custody program. So we may end up using some of those funds for that. I don't know. So the Prop 36 has put a bit of a burden onto the sheriff and the jail because now crimes are crimes again. You know, used to not be crimes. I mean, you walk into Lowe's or Safeway or wherever and you could steal $949 worth of stuff and it was a ticket if anybody caught you.
Please show up, please.
Right. So now there's actually people getting arrested, you know, and you could shoot up heroin in front of an officer or whatever, and it was just a misdemeanor. It was nothing. It wasn't even a misdemeanor. It was an infraction.
So where are you at negotiating with that property down off East Side Road by Haven Humane? It's my opinion the city ought to give it to you, being 85% of the visitors to the jail are from the city.
Over 50 anyways, but... Well, if you were the city manager, then we would probably already be done. So, no, it's in negotiations, and a lot of it's closed session stuff.
Are they wanting a pretty good chunk of money for that?
It's, again, closed session stuff, but I'm thinking that we will move forward with that. So it's looking like...
So these people that are picked up under Proposition 36 and are getting a felony, are we going to send them down there? Are we going to sentence them to rehab?
Well, we will sentence them to, there will be a lot, I mean, the sheriff, and again, this is a multi-year deal. I mean, we're not gonna, you know, if we get the property tomorrow, there's not going to be a mental health facility there, and there's not gonna be a drug rehab center there, and there's not gonna be, I mean, it's going to be a multi-year project. But one of the first things the sheriff wants to do is quadruple the farm. You know, so we have a farm now over off Breslauer, and, you know, a lot of the inmates that are sentenced go there, work on the farm every day. They grow vegetables for the jail. I mean, they do it. So he wants to, like, quadruple that size. But, you know, as we move down the road, he has all sorts of envisions putting all sorts of stuff in there, which is great. Everything he's wanting to do is fantastic. Now, the deal is if you put in a facility where they spend the night and they stay overnight, then you get into the whole prison system. And then you have a whole another set of rules to go by. So that's why this needs to be an alternative custody program where, you know, they're on ankle monitors, they go back home at the end of the day, you know.
Well, wasn't that part of the Modi turndown was him and I believe it was Basenko, if I remember correctly.
Were not getting along.
They weren't getting along, not hard to believe, but that they could build it, but then they didn't have the funds to man it. That became the big issue was the manpower. They could have built the facility, but they just didn't have the money to actually run the darn thing.
And that was the excuse of turning it down at the time, yeah. And okay. And for that particular grant, we could have built a prison. Could have built a new jail for that.
Well, it's my opinion, Modi didn't want a jail. I believe Modi's a bleeding heart liberal, and he wants to rehab and re-enter them into society, and we can't lock them up. That's what happens when you elect somebody that's born with a silver spoon in their mouth and doesn't have any life experiences.
Well, yeah, he has life experience. He sure ate at the public trough for his entire career.
And he's doing pretty well now, over $200,000 a year. I looked up on Transparent California, it was $203,000.
Yeah.
Of course, only 60% of that is funded by CalPERS, so the Reading taxpayers making up the other $80,000.
Well, That's another.
And that comes out of the sheriff's, the police budget.
It does, yeah. And a lot of people don't
so
understand
when you
that.
See that the police budget is $26 million, I wonder how much of that goes to servicing the unfunded pension liabilities.
And I know when Patrick Jones was on the Reading City Council, and I'm not going to spout the numbers because I don't know them off the top of my head, but I know the police budget went up a ton of money. It increased quite a bit, but the officers on the streets actually went down. So, because it was all unfunded liabilities. Now, the county's in much better shape than the city of Reading is on unfunded liabilities, but we still have a pretty good deep pocket of unfunded liabilities that we have to, you know, pay every year.
The last time I looked, when it was miscellaneous and safety put together, it was roughly $25 million apiece, the county and the city. This is 4 or 5 years ago.
That is a different problem. And that's why I'm not taking the CalPERS retirement. You know, I turned it down day number one as one of the campaign promises I made. Patrick Jones did not take the retirement. I turned down the retirement. I am not taking the retirement now. So I am working for this with unfunded in my retirement.
Look at this. Magnanimous, too. Not only common sense, but magnanimous. That's amazing. Not a very common trait in today's world.
Yeah,
no. So, Chris, we've got about 4 to 5 minutes in closing, because we brought you on, and I want people to know about that whole not McLeod Lake McCumber issue and what was coming down the pike, so they were at least aware to keep an eye open for it. But you got about 3-4 minutes here. What do we got going that might be something that's really cool or controversial that you can maybe just hit on real quickly to finish out the show?
Oh, boy. Let's see. That kind of puts me on the spot. We'll just talk about McCumber some more.
Yeah. Is there anything that people can be doing? Is there?
Well, you know? I'll say, so, March 24th, we have a public safety meeting coming up. I want to make sure I got my dates right. I believe it's March 24th. We have a Board of Supervisors public safety meeting coming up. So last Thursday, we did a public safety meeting. So what was happening is, you know, we get on Facebook and we hear about these horrific criminals being let loose because they couldn't, you know, they didn't have a court date. And the excuse we've been hearing for quite some time was, well, there's a lack of judges, lack of judges, lack of judges. And I ended up meeting with an individual that pointed out, showed me the numbers and said there is not a lack of judges. So
and they just added 2 for the record.
Right. So we have 13 judges now. So Kevin wanted to get everybody in the same room. The DA, the public defender, the sheriff, the police chief, the probation, and Fowler Bradley that runs the courts, you know, basically. So he wanted everybody in the same room so that instead of all this finger pointing going on, we could get everybody together on the same page and say, okay, what is the real problem? So we had that meeting Thursday. Unfortunately, we didn't have enough time to really for the supervisors to make any questions. So we heard all the presentations. We had public comment, but we didn't get down to get the crux of the problem to start asking questions. So on the 24th of March at 5:30 p.m., it's going to be an evening meeting. We're going to have another public safety meeting where we can start asking some of the hard questions of, you know, what is the problem? And ironically, we didn't hear one time that it was a lack of judges. With Fowler Bradley sitting in the room, it was no longer a lack of judges. It was a lack of funding and not paying them enough is what we got out of that meeting, which...
From every department.
Right, yeah.
Every department needs more money. They need more help.
They need more help. They need more money. They're overworked. Exactly. So that is coming up March 24th, 5:30 p.m. It's a Monday night. We're going to have that meeting where we get to ask some of the questions.
Well, you know, it's funny is, it's my opinion that old Newsom had the quid pro quo for the PGE settlement because one of our new judges, was supposed to be prosecuting that. All charges got dropped and he got awarded the judgeship. So nothing to see here, but we have more judges than we've had in a long time. I did read that article about the fact that the DA's office and the prosecutor's office is running at about 50% staff compared to other like-size caseload counties. And so, it does seem like there is an overworking issue from what that article seemed to point out.
No comment. We'll wait until the 24th.
Let me ask you this. Do you believe out-of-town communities are sending their homeless to our area?
Well, you've reported that you've talked to some people that were from out-of-town.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
So, remember Anna when she came to the Board of Supervisors meeting, black lady?
Talked about the buses being dropping off people at middle of the night from San Francisco because she went to pick somebody else up.
You got on there.
Oh, you're talking about Annie?
Yes.
I think I might have been there, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we've all heard the rumors now. You know, it, for the longest time, it was like Bigfoot. You know, we heard the rumors, but nobody ever saw it. But then Patrick and Kevin were notified that there was a bus being dropped off, you know, back in Patrick's term. And they raced up there over by Save Mart on Churn Creek there. And they raced up there, and there was still one guy still there. And they talked to him, and he had come up from Mexico, you know. So, and there was, you know, a bus being dropped off. So, I don't know, Nick. I mean, I don't doubt it. I don't doubt anything. I know that, you know, we have some individuals here that are not highly respected members of society that are not from here.
Gotcha. Well, I think our time is just about up. We had some clips that Nick wanted to play, so 2 weeks from now, we will jump back into those, Nick, because we didn't get a chance to talk to him. Mr. Kellstrom, continue kicking some butt, and thank you for coming in and getting us up to speed on what you're dealing with, because that's a big issue up there.
Thank you.
Have a great day, guys.
All right.
News from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.